You are now listening to Conversations with Congressman King. Discussion on issues that impact your life with your representative from Iowa's 5th District.
Welcome to Conversations with Congressman King. The program that we've been doing here has been so interesting and so engaging with Congressman Thaddeus McCotter of Michigan that we decided to extend this program and continue down this path of discussion. And in the last segment, we were talking about the basis for American exceptionalism, the foundations for it, our constitutional republic, how that all ties together into ensuring a positive, dynamic future destiny of America versus if we allow the pillars of our constitutional republic to be torn asunder one piece at a time, how it could ultimately end up in the collapse and the end of American exceptionalism. And the vitality of American exceptionalism is another component of this. It isn't just a matter of being exceptional, but how much vitality do we show, and do we outpace and outstrip the rest of the civilizations in the world, as we have historically and as we need to do in the future. But I would reintroduce Congressman Thaddeus McCotter from Michigan, who is the chairman of the House Policy Committee, elected by his peers. And that's better than an opinion. That's actually a quantifiable honor that we have provided for Thad McCotter. And we look forward to the leadership that you've been providing and more of it the same. Welcome again, Thaddeus McCotter.
Great to be back. Long time no see.
And we were in the middle of this conversation. I'd like to pick this conversation up about American exceptionalism and the pillars of the success of American exceptionalism. I had just gone through, if I remember correctly, some of those pillars being freedom of speech, religion, press, Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms, property rights in our Fifth Amendment. There are others along the way, but that opens that up. What do you propose, or what do you think would have happened had our founders not had the vision to plug some of those pillars in the foundation of our Constitution that sent us along this way, that's taken us to this level of exceptionalism?
Well, I think we would have experienced many of the bloodier aspects of European history or other continental histories, where they could not come to a fundamental understanding of what constituted their moral and social roots of order. As Russell Kirk points out in his book, American Roots of Order, it's the Judeo-Christian tradition upon which most of the framers drew at the time. And that's why I think the key to all of the pillars that you're talking about, Steve, is one simple fact. We do not have our rights because of government. We have government because of our rights. Our rights are endowed upon us by our Creator. They are inalienable. They are self-evident. I think that is what sets the United States apart in terms of our concept of liberty from any other country in the world, or in many ways, many other continents in the world. If you think about the European Union and its experiment that they're trying to do on that continent, they tend to believe that their rights stem from government. And this goes back to the problem that we saw when Pope John Paul II tried to get the European Union Constitution to recognize the fundamental Judeo-Christian roots of European civilization. It was resisted bitterly by the atheist left over there, the socialist left. The United States has to understand where we came from to know where we're going. And I don't think it's a disrespect to anybody to admit the historical fact that it was based upon Judeo-Christian traditions, and much as an Irish Catholic hate to admit it, the British parliamentary system. And when you combine those two, you wound up with the fundamental bedrocks, not only of procedures, but of where the essence of liberty stems from itself.
And it really does, and we're seeing that an effort to, I don't know if the right word is cleanse, but to eradicate the history of faith from our history itself. And I recall years ago when this began back in the days of, let's see, Murray v. Curlett, and they took prayer out of the public school back in about 1963, and in those subsequent years, the efforts that came. I mean, I spent a lot of my life in the construction industry, so I have different kinds of nightmares than other people do. But one of the nightmares that I had back in some of those years, and I think it was actually in the 70s, was that the federal government had actually had a bid letting and awarded a contract to a company to come in and chisel all the references to God off of all of our public buildings. And I don't know if it was nationwide, but in my dream, it was in Washington, D.C. And so in my dream, it was handheld jackhammers, light little jackhammers, jackhammering the words out, and then just troweling in plaster or grouting in the what was left of the In God We Trust, One Nation Under God, the references E Pluribus Unum, those things eradicated from the public square and the public sphere. That actual literal nightmare hasn't come to pass, but figuratively it has gone through our laws across this nation. And I think it's a tragedy to try to, the word's not right, to cleanse, but to eradicate from our history and our understanding the very foundation of this nation, which was religious, that was rooted in our religious beliefs.
Well, clearly my father was a Reagan Democrat, although he never admitted it. He was a Union Democrat his whole life, and there's one thing that he generally loathed more than Republicans, and it was Madeline Murray O'Hare and the atheist movement. When it gets right down to it, those attempts are clearly attempts to undermine the foundations of American exceptionalism by undermining the fundamental concept that you get your rights from God. You are born with inalienable, self-evident rights. It does not come from a government. It does not come from people like Madeline Murray O'Hare. It does not come from me or you. It is with you when you are born.
But to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men.
Right. Our rights lead us to create government. Government does not give us our rights, and that has spared us a whole lot of problems that other countries have had.
Because we've identified what those rights are, and you're listening to Conversations with Congressman King. We're here with Congressman Thaddeus McCotter of Michigan and the chairman of the House Policy Committee. And because our founding fathers identified those rights and protected them and preserved those in our Constitution, identified them in the Declaration and put into the Constitution itself to protect and preserve them, but the rights that came from God. But had they failed to recognize some of those rights? That's the central question here now, is that what if they hadn't said we have a right to guarantee free speech, for example? Would you consider that to be a fatal flaw in the structure of our republic?
I would think so. I would think that actually when you think about the freedom of speech, they were very visionary. It's really the freedom of conscience, because if you can have a freedom of conscience, but if you aren't free to articulate it, what kind of government do you have? So they figured if you have the right to say whatever you think is appropriate at a given time, you clearly have the right to a free conscience. And I think that in the United States, one of our historical achievements that people tend to overlook is because of that fundamental commitment to people's conscience and to liberty, is we've been able to emancipate millions, tens of hundreds of millions of people across the globe to live in freedom. If you think about it, when the United States started, Steve, there weren't a whole lot of kings and queens in Europe on the dole. Fortunately, there are now. Liberty does have a resonance because all human beings are created equal in God's eyes, and therefore, ergo, all human beings have constitutional right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and no human being can live in slavery under a totalitarian system and expect to. And we should never expect them to have to, and where and when we can, we should help assist in that emancipation. I think these are key concepts to the United States. Ask yourself, it's very popular to say the United States is an occupying force somewhere in the world. I ask people, look, what other nation would have allowed Paris to remain a national capital rather than make it a state capital after World War II? What the United States does is we emancipate humanity where and when we can and where is necessary, and then we come home. We come home because we know that our continuing experiment democracy is not perfect. It never can be, but we have to move towards whatever level of improvement we can in the short time God gives us in this transient existence.
There are a lot of opportunities to take that intersection and go a lot of ways with that statement. Thad McCotter, congressman from Michigan.
So I'm a politician. We tend to do that.
I feel that urge to go off on a number of different directions, but I wanted to try to bring this into a viewpoint here, and that is, We have articulated some of the rights that come from God that are ratified within our Constitution, and I was looking back at a little occasion earlier today to reflect upon the four freedoms that FDR put out, and that happened to be in the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial. They're enshrined there as if they are constitutional rights, and those four freedoms are freedom of speech, freedom of worship, both constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. And then the other two were extra-constitutional, freedom from want and freedom from fear. And yet they're treated often in this Congress as if they're constitutional rights, freedom from want and freedom from fear.
Well, they might have been in the Constitution if FDR had been able to pack the court the way he wanted to. I think that the founders had it right. And, well, first, as conservative Republicans, let's at least be happy that FDR took Wilson's 14 points and boiled them down to 4. I suppose that's... That's good for
and two of which were constitutional.
Yeah, and two of which he actually 50% was good for FDR in that regard. they got it right, the founders got it right, when they said that you have an inalienable, God-given, self-evident right to the pursuit of happiness. You do not have a right to the attainment of happiness. And in that pursuit, as human beings are frail, flawed creatures, you can never be free from fear in the pursuit of happiness, because you can never be free from fear that you might not attain it, or some other anxiety that may come in. If FDR were talking about the security of the United States, which in a certain sense I think he was, in fairness to him, mm-hmm. then I would agree with that. Is that it's, the government is put in place. One of its primary responsibilities is to protect your constitutional rights, your God-given rights. And the other is to protect you from the enemies of the United States, so that you can pursue happiness free from external threat to your life, liberty, and property. But the freedom from want, oh, clearly, you know, FDR was a Democrat after all.
Well, interestingly, I was in a hearing earlier today on food stamps, and the new argument surfaced that I had not heard before, and that is food stamps used to be we had people that are suffering from malnutrition, so we want to make sure they have nutrition. And then we had people suffering from hunger, but we want to make sure that no one was hungry. And now we've gone another level with this, and they have the phrase called food insecurity. These are people that have plenty of nutrition. They always get the next meal. But the insecurity part is they may not know what their next meal will be or if it's actually going to be there, but they can't argue that they're not getting it. So I took this logic and went down from the four freedoms of FDR, and I put this in the Congressional Record, actually, the freedom of speech and worship, two constitutional rights, and then the expanded ones that FDR put in, the freedom from want and freedom from fear. Now this freedom from want that has been considered to be a constitutional right has gone from that to freedom from fear of want. In other words, if you have anxiety about your well-being of any kind whatsoever, government should take away that anxiety. And I'm wondering what kind of motivation we're going to have for human endeavor if anxiety is removed from the human condition.
Well, I know I get anxiety about what I'm going to eat when I get home from Washington on a Friday night, and my son George, who's 14, has eaten everything that was supposed to be left over for me. That does not mean that the federal government should come in and put my son in chains and say that he can't eat, although there are times I'd like to do that. But in all seriousness, the United States, we talk about rights, 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 and we have them. There is also a duty. The duty that we have as Americans and to each other is to help move the ball down the field in terms of our self-reliance, in terms of helping our fellow citizens become self-reliant and productive. The welfare state is a very dangerous trap, because now, as you point out, Steve, you're going to freedom from fear. Fear of some type of insecurity is a government, as Gerald Ford, another Michigan guy who's also bald, said, a government that can do anything for you is a government that can do anything to you. The temptation of the welfare state is always that they will take care of your temporal needs and you will not have any spiritual consequences. That is not the case. Human beings inherently have to strive towards a greater purpose, a greater understanding, both in faith and in terms of their family, familial, and national senses, or they will stagnate and die. And if you look at the demographic problems that Europe is having with the creation of the EU, which has become a purposeless perpetuation of purposelessness, which is a tongue twister but true, they have no incentive to strive, dream, achieve the way that Americans do. And we should never let the United States government, for any purported reason, cheat Americans of their right to dream, strive, and succeed in an environment of order, liberty.
And that is a sharp distinction between us and Western Europe. And even though we're descended from Western civilization as it flowed from the Age of Reason in the time of the Greeks through Western Europe, particularly France, I need to admit, in the Age of Enlightenment, here to the United States where Western civilization arrived at a time when we had low taxation and no regulation and manifest destiny. And out of that environment, the underpinnings that we've talked about here and many more besides became American exceptionalism, Thad McCotter.
Right, and we need to stay with the traditional roots of moral and social order in the United States and our fundamental concepts of a constitutional republic, because we're facing a transformational time with globalization, with the war for freedom, with the rise of communist China, and with moral relativity. And if we do not have our feet firmly anchored in the ground and in our historical understanding of our nation, we will never again see American exceptionalism. But thankfully, people like you and me will do everything we can to see we do.
And I'm looking forward to continuing to develop this thought process, raise the subject of American exceptionalism across through this 110th Congress and across the consciousness of the American people. I'm looking forward to the chairman of the policy committee, Thaddeus McCotter, leading the magical mystery tour through American exceptionalism on into the future. Thanks a lot, Thaddeus McCotter, for joining him with Conversations with Congressman King.
Thanks, Steve. Sir, I didn't have time to plug my new CD.
And you play in a band as well. So thanks again, Thad.
Please join us next time on Conversations with Congressman King. For more information on any of the topics mentioned today, visit the website at house.gov/Steve King.